Hello and welcome to episode 702 of the Punk News Podcast. I am your host, one of your hosts, Punk News co-senior head editor M. Moore. I'm also here with the other co-senior head editor, John Gentile. And we have dialed 1-800-DEALBREAKER, so we are joined by Connor, Nick, and Scott. So we're going to play a song and then we'll be right back with the band. So we're playing What's His Name? And we'll be right back.
Hi, aren't you? What's his name? It's nice to see you. I'll ask you something strange. Can you help me get through all of the short-term pain? It was nice to see you. It was nice to see you. It was nice.
And we're back. So welcome everybody to the podcast. We totally just heard the song in full. How's everyone doing tonight?
Doing awesome.
I'm doing good.
Really good. Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for coming on. Thanks for being here. As the listeners may know, interviewed all of you plus Bill back earlier this year. So for some more information about the band, go read that, please. It's up on Punk News right now. Shameless plug, always good way to start the interview.
Hell yeah, link in bio.
Oh yeah, get the link tree going, the numbers just popping. So back in May, you released King Size, which collects your 2024 EPs, Run It Again, and Quick Split, along with your single Power Moves. And it also has a new intro song called Thank You for Calling. So, what was it like putting this collection album together, and how did the idea to do a collection album come about?
Yeah, so we were going on our tour out to Pooza Fest in May. We did I think 6 dates leading out to Montreal, and I think 3 days before we left, I was just like, oh, we could just like compile these and put them on Spotify, and we just did. So it was kind of a it was just kind of a decision we made last minute. We were making some tapes to bring with us that just had everything on it. Everything we've released so far has, like, physical media wise, has been on tape. So we were like, okay, we might as well, like, Power Moves hasn't had a physical release yet. We might as well just put them all together. And that intro track is kind of like a condensed version of a track that we tend to play at the start of our live set. So we just figured if we put something together that kind of was an approximation of the actual set that we were going to play every night in order. That was kind of the thinking there. And then we just decided, let's give it its own name, let's give it its own kind of look, and release it almost as like a pseudo full length. So that was kind of the thinking there. But yeah, it was very much a last minute decision, that we just decided to release as a comp. And yeah, we did.
Nice. That's a good way to go about it, especially someone who's not like familiar with the band and then going to see you live. That's it's really smart. So I think it was in a previous interview, or it might have been an Instagram post you did like quite a while ago. You said that the songs that are 150 seconds long are the best ones. So how did you decide on that magic number?
This is a controversial topic, especially for the three people you have here today. So I appreciate you
Yes.
bringing this up. This is great. Yeah, I think the short answer, and I can't wait to open this up to the rest of the guys. The short answer is, to me, I think being concise and leaving people wanting more is can only work in our benefit, especially I think as a band starting out. I think just kind of getting in, getting out. Just giving people a taste. And then, we used to say all the time, if you wanna, if the song's too short, then run it again, which is what that first EP is named after. So, the gist of it is to kind of just give people what they're, what they're looking for, and then have them ask for more. So I kind of have like a soft, I won't call it a hard rule, but I have like a soft goal target, I guess, of like 150 seconds, 2.5 minutes. I think that you can say everything you need to say within that time. Yeah, there, I mean, we'll see if we follow that rule with the record that we're recording in a couple of weeks, but yeah, I guess I'll open it up to either of these guys.
Yeah, I think it's a good move just because, excuse me, attention spans are not what they once were. So I think to have short songs is good for the listener. But the way Connor introduced it as controversial is that it became like what I thought was like a rule, and I don't care for rules. So I challenge Connor often. I'm like,
Scott's our bad
why?
boy.
Why? Yeah, I'm the bad boy of the band. I'm trying to break the rules all the time, so I'm always trying to add maybe like 3 or 4 seconds to something just to stir the pot up a little bit. But
Really drag out that drum fill.
ultimately I am on the short songs win side.
Yeah, I've even found for me, I kind of fall in the middle and I've kind of teeter-tottered back and forth about the topic. But for me, it was, I like the idea. I think there's a piece that Connor kind of commented on about kind of like our brand, and sticking to that I think is important. And I think there's a reason why the formula has worked for us so far. Not saying we're some gigantic band or anything,
Well,
but
by the time you listen to this
oh,
podcast, we will be for sure.
Headlining Firefest.
yeah,
Details to
exactly.
follow.
Details coming up
I
soon,
can't wait to drop that bomb on you guys.
but yeah, so I don't know. Like for me, it's something where like I appreciate a nice short song. I think it works for a short like an in and out set. I think it does leave an impact on people, and yeah, I think it's always worth exploring. I think there are a few songs that we're writing right now that Connor made a point before or in the jam room that he would never be against leaving a part in if it added to the song or if it added meaning to the whole bigger picture. But he will always maybe question the
Does it need to
idea,
be there?
does it need to be there? Is it something that like have we already told this part? Is it something that we can can we skip it at this point to get it under? And I find personally, there are times I love, like, there are bands that I've listened to my whole life that I now am like, wow, this song is incredibly long. Like, this is too long for a song.
Then you look at the timeline and it's like 3 minutes and 2 seconds, and you're like, no, this is pretty fucked. Yeah.
But no, I think it's more of a guideline, I think. We like to keep it in that it's kind of a good area to keep a song in. But we've gone under. We've done minute songs. We've done. I don't know if we've ever gone over yet, have we?
Not as far as anyone currently listening would
Yeah.
know,
Right.
but
So nothing that's out is over 230. Yeah.
yeah, a little peek behind the screen. It's
Okay.
likely that one of the tracks on our new record will breach that.
Unless we play it faster.
Who knows? Who knows? We'll break the rules. That's okay. But no, it is like really, it is like I know we're kind of dragging this out here, but it is really
No,
just
it's good.
more of a soft goal than it is a hard rule, but I do think that like aiming for that kind of brings with it a lot of positive elements. Like Nick said, like if we want to have a quick set, we want to get in, we want to get out, we want people, you know, wanting more rather than being like, oh, like when's this set done? Like I don't want the worst thing in the world is if anyone's sitting there being like, really, another one? Like I want people being like, oh fuck, they're done. And then they gotta come see us the next night. That's it's all kind of part of that same I guess ethos or approach. For sure.
What's one song that exists that you think's way too long and could be condensed easily?
Oh man.
There's so many.
I feel like
It's a
right now
tough one.
it's so often we share songs now that we're like, yeah, this song rules. And the first comment from like me or Connor is like, yeah, but they could have lost that last minute and a half.
Could have chopped that end up.
I don't know any specifics that I could like off the top of my head right now that I like equally love being the song that it is, but also think like, oh, guys,
Yeah,
we heard this twice already.
yeah, dial it back. Yeah, I don't like nothing's coming to mind either. Long songs, what, like Don't Stop Believing? Is that song long? That feels like it would be a long one.
Yeah, I was even thinking more like people that we like.
Oh, not like a band that I think sucks. Cool, cool.
But I would
Before I
also
date
not
on Journey.
come on Punk News and like sewer our friends.
Yeah. So, I mean, actually, the opposite, like to not answer your question and give you like a completely, like the literal opposite thing that you asked for.
Sure.
TV Freaks just released a record that has like an
Oh.
exceptionally long two-part song. That's great.
It's like
So,
the my favorites.
ooh.
Yeah, it's my favorite song on the
Okay.
record, I think.
It's so awesome. So yeah, they just released Blue Genie. And yeah, there's a part one and a part two, and it rocks.
Make your
So
mind up, Connor. You want them short or you want them long?
I don't need other people to do what I'm doing. In fact, I don't want them to. So I'm totally happy to enjoy my friend's music in its intended
But I think
you
it does say something that we didn't comment on, like not that we would say anything ill or bad about TV Freaks. Obviously, we love those guys, but
know.
it shows that like they did it right.
Yeah,
They
it
make
can be done
it could
right.
be done right. They did it.
Oh yeah.
Think Semi-Charmed Life, great song. 4.5 minutes.
Doesn't need to be 4.5 minutes.
Could have been three.
Yeah.
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 That's my final answer.
Could have been three. It could have been two and a half even.
That's a good one. It's funny when you start thinking
Thank
about
you.
it and it's like, that's not that long. And that's like, nope.
It is
Yeah.
it us doing what we're doing now with the 2.5 minute soft rule type guide is only making it harder to listen to music for me
I
personally.
agree. It happens often. I'm like, man, this is really dragging. I'm like, not joking. I will look and be like, it's only been 3 minutes. But I'm like, okay, let's get this over with.
Like when you're so in like the editing space, you're just like, nope, guys, you got to do this too.
Oh yeah.
Well, speaking of new songs, you'll be playing some new songs at shows coming up. Niagara Falls with BA Johnson Pro Wrestling the Band on November 28th. And your tour around Buffalo and Ontario with the Dreaded Laramie starting on December 3rd. So, what new song are you most excited to play live? Which one do you think is going to really get the crowd going?
Well, we're opening with a track called Good Heart, Dumb Brain. So I think
Like
there's
the
a,
name.
thank you. I think there's a reason that we've selected that to start. So I think that's kind of exciting. Honestly, this is like probably the most generic artist answer I could possibly give you, but we're all super excited about all of these tracks. So it's like, it's really hard to just pick one. I think there's things we're trying to do throughout. Speaking from my own perspective, like vocally, there's sections of songs that I'm really kind of pushing what I think I have been capable of or have really, tried to do in the past, which is exciting to me. I don't know. I'm honestly just I'm really, really excited to show people this new show, I guess. Like the whole kind of the set as a whole. Like I think we take some pride in kind of how we construct it and putting a show on, not just like showing up and performing these songs that we've written. Like we do want it to feel like a kind of like a punch in the face, like a fun experience for people. So I think I'm really excited to show people a lot of new songs. Like I think I alluded to earlier before, we started recording the call, but we're playing three older songs, which you'll hear, all listeners will hear today on this podcast. But otherwise, the other eight that are in the set list are new. So I am excited to show people kind of what we've been cooking up.
My answer is going to be a song called Eternal Love, where it's like heavily just guitar and vocals for, I would say, like 75% of the song, which is something we've never done before, and then kind of kicks in with everybody. Just something different we haven't done before. So I'm pretty pumped to mostly just sit back on the drum kit and watch that one for a while, but then to kick in and rock at the end should be fun.
Good pick.
I think
Thanks.
there's a few that that are don't know what the word is. I think interesting. I think we're doing Deal Breaker, obviously, for all of these new songs, but there are some stuff where we're branching out a little bit from doing Deal Breakers, if everyone knows what,
Yeah,
in the
really.
nine songs we have on the internet.
It's a real deviation of past projects.
No, but personally, like even in the jam room, I think we've pushed ourselves to do a few things a little different. We're trying new things. I think there's we've always loved engaging the audience and making sure they're a part of the show. And I think a lot of these songs are really doing that. I think we're really trying to get them involved and really, I think there's a lot of good chants and singing. I think there's one for me. I think I these are all tentative song titles, I guess, but as it stands right now, it's called Can't Deny. And it's I don't know, there's like it's us, but it's got like it's different at the same time. It's cool. Yeah, I'm excited to kind of see how people feel about that one. I mean, I know they're gonna love it, but
Yeah, I'm excited to see if I'm still standing after New Sides, which is like the middle point of the set, and I feel like it's gonna,
yeah.
yeah, take a lot out. But no, long story short, it's we're excited. Obviously, the three of us all gave very different answers,
Yeah.
but very excited for
That's a good thing,
all of
though.
these. It very good
Yeah,
thing.
three different answers. It means I don't, I like Connor said before, though, too. I'm not at all like there's not one point in the set list or the track listing for the record as it stands now where I am like, uh-oh, this is gonna be the one
That's a
that's a clunker.
clunker.
Yeah, like this is gonna like every song. And again, Connor, he like maybe it's a cheesy band thing to say, but I think with Deal Breaker, like our whole thing forever is like we always write the music for us first. If we think it's cool and we love it, maybe you'll love it too. So that's where we're at. And right now I think we love all of it. At least I love all of it.
Totally.
Yeah, you have some really cool like openers on this tour too. Like you have Weak Hands and Wasted Potential and Fear Elements, which of course, Scott, your new band or your new project with MC of Dreaded Laramie.
That's right, yeah.
I think you're making your live debut at the Welland show, is that correct?
Yeah. First time,
Yeah.
first show in Welland, at the Black Sheep on Saturday, December 6th, I believe.
So how did that project come about, and what are you looking forward to bringing it to life in a live setting?
Yeah, so back in June, Dealbreaker played two shows with Dreaded Laramie. Me and MC just kept in touch after that. Had a lot in common musically and otherwise. And then she was sending some demos to me. I was playing drums along with them, sending maybe some guitar ideas back and forth. And we were like, what can we do with this? Decided on let's start like a recording project. Called Fear Elements. We recorded two songs remotely. So I did drums and some vocals here in Hamilton with recorded by Nick Giamarco of Deal Breaker.
I
And
guess
then
I'll
she
get to
recorded the
know. Yeah.
rest back in Nashville with Sean McCann, who's the drummer of Dreaded Laramie, and then mixed by Nick Giamarco. And then 2 weeks ago, I went to Nashville. We recorded two more songs, which have yet a release date. So we'll see when those are going to come out. And then playing our first show, as mentioned before. So yeah, it's all moving pretty fast, but kind of the Fear Elements way is just we're just gonna make it happen. We're just gonna do it. So it's been fun. It's cool. I hope everyone likes it when the tracks are out in a week and a half, first two tracks. So yeah.
They sound really good. I'm excited for people to hear them. so we can't
They
use
sound
them. Thank
very,
you for
very
saying
good.
that.
Yeah.
I'll talk about
It's
it. Yeah.
a little more indie rock than punk rock, so a little different for both what me and MC are used to doing, but it's stuff that I really like listening to, so I'm excited.
It's cool that there's more in the pipeline too. It's exciting.
Yeah.
You heard it here, folks.
But yeah. I don't, well, we're premiering one of them, which is might be out by now, might not. We'll just see, but very exciting.
Yes, thank you for that, by the way.
Your eyes and ears peeled, folks, dear listeners. So Nick, earlier in the year, you mentioned wanting to get some pyro on stage
Whoa.
for Deal Breaker.
Shit, I should have read our last interview before today. Prepared.
What will we see any on these shows, or is that in the future? The
It turns out, fire, even for big bands, isn't like very easy to do. And we found out, just playing shows as well, smoke, just like fog machines,
pyro
are also not like always chill.
tour. People don't
So,
love that.
unfortunately, no pyro yet. But you never know, I guess. Maybe I'll have something. Maybe we'll do something on this tour.
Yeah, I've been on record a few times saying, ask forgiveness, not permission. And then I would say, after like a specific night that I won't go into detail about, I think I'm going to ask permission from now on.
Oh,
The fire department was involved,
it
and
was like a, yeah, there was a,
know what?
yeah.
You got to try it, right?
Oh, you got,
Shoot for
hey.
the stars.
Hey, it all worked out for everybody involved. A couple guys got a free beer out of the deal. So, yeah.
So yeah, long story short, no fire yet, no pyro yet, but like Connor said a little bit before, just as good, if not better, of a deal breaker show that's going to be coming up for sure.
Hell yeah.
Packed with bits and fun and,
I will say there's been some cool like light
Ooh.
stuff. Like we played a show at the
Yeah.
Copper Mug in like shout out to Daryl.
Daryl,
As this guy was like, we've never met him before, but we just walked in to load up at Buddy's Fest. We
oh,
played the
yeah.
after party with Penske File and a band called The Lookout from Montreal. But we pulled up just at like 4 in the afternoon, and this guy was like, "Hey guys, how's it going?" Like,
Who's also the chef? I
he's
heard
also, yeah, like the
it.
owner and chef,
And
but like guy was just stoked to have us and was like, "Oh, do you want lights? Do you want like a fog machine? Do you want like..." And we're like, "Yeah, dude, like just like whatever you got." And he's like, "Oh, I got a lot of stuff in the basement." We're
owner.
like,
Just
"Yeah,
kept bringing stuff
kept
up.
bringing different stuff
Oh
up,"
my
and
God.
it was awesome. Yeah, Daryl ruled.
They
Like, he did a lot of cool.
also helped purchase Scott a pair of shorts. Well, I don't remember why you needed shorts though, Scott. What was
Oh
the.
yeah, so we rolled up to Buddy's Fest and I didn't pack appropriately and it was like 40
Oh
degrees
yes.
Celsius for the American listeners is, I don't know,
Hot.
hot, humid.
Yeah.
And I only had like black jeans on and I was like, oh, I'm like really warm right now. And the co-owner of the bar was this lovely woman and she was like, I'll be right back. And she went to a thrift store and bought me a pair of shorts.
Multiple pairs of
That's so
shorts.
nice.
It was
You got it.
incredible.
Yeah. She gave me, hang on a sec, let me go grab them. They're like right here.
Yeah. And then we can describe them in detail for the
Yeah, for
listeners.
the
It was, yeah,
welcome to
she.
the short section of the podcast.
Yeah,
Yes,
it's great.
sorry.
She, this is why you're listening, right? To hear about these
It
different gym shorts that were thrifted in Tillsonburg, Ontario.
no, but it was I just I guess roundabout way of saying like their hospitality
Oh,
there was
nice.
n oh yeah that
Hell
are
yeah. There they
those the
are.
green ones?
No, the green ones were the green ones were the ones I ended up wearing, but she bought me at least two, maybe three pairs of shorts.
Yeah.
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 Saved the day,
That's
really
awesome.
made me super comfortable. Might not have made it through the day without those, so.
Yeah. We also, last thing I'll say about Copper Mug is we had printed off like a joke poster that we made, which was like said like 1-800 deal breaker on the top, but then it just had five pictures of Nick playing guitar.
I didn't think this was a joke.
Well,
Oh
I mean, like,
no.
I think it's hilarious and awesome. But anyway,
Was funny.
Nick printed a couple of these off, just like this would be fun to have on the merch table. And this Daryl dude at the end was like, "You guys were awesome. Do you have any posters?" And we were like, Actually, we do have a poster in the van. So we brought this poster of just five Nicks in, and we all signed a different Nick as if, we were said Nick. And then this guy said he was going to take down, was it Cheap Trick?
Yeah.
He's like, "I'm taking down the Cheap Trick poster to put this up." And we're like, "Oh, dude, you don't have to do that." He's like, "Get them
So
out here."
they were mean to me.
They
They were mean to
mean
me.
to me.
He didn't like them, so he's gonna replace them.
Deal breaker. Cooler dudes than Cheap Trick, according to Daryl in Tilsonburg,
Yeah.
his words.
I mean, I trust Daryl. Copper Mug, great place for bands to play in Tilsonburg.
Love it. Tilsonburg, great place for bands to play. Cool little town. Loved it.
Excited to go back to Buddy's Fest.
Oh yeah.
Playing or not. That
No,
wasn't an announcement.
he's
They
playing
haven't
or
told
not.
us we can play yet, but we'll announce it here. We're playing Buddy's Fest. Yeah. And then I'll send this link to Ben and we'll make it happen.
Peer pressure.
Oh yeah. Don't ask, don't get, or whatever they say.
Yeah.
Never know unless you try, right?
Oh yeah. It's
making me really think that fire needs to happen. We'll just do it.
I'm gonna go back. I think actually I am gonna just ask forgiveness and not permission. I think I'm gonna stick to my guns on that.
All the lessons out the window. Everything's, yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, what can people expect from your new album?
Mostly 150 seconds or less songs. Yeah, I don't know. I guess like I think just by nature of us kind of compiling a full record's worth of music in kind of one fell swoop, I think it will naturally probably feel more cohesive, I think, than what we've released in the past. You know, what we've done prior was just, hey, we've got three songs, let's record them, let's put them out. Hey, we've got four more, record them, put them out. You know, we did a single for the Power Moves podcast, put it out. And we learned a lot of things along the way doing that. And I think this time, like we're recording at Boxcar with Vince Soliveri. MC of Dreaded Laramie is going to fill a producer role for us. So we kind of are like, not that we need all of this. We've DIY'd it in the past and it's been great. But I think we decided if we're going to do it, let's dive right in. Let's check as many boxes as we can, have some fun with it, try some new stuff. So I think all of it kind of coming together as one big project with these kind of different voices that we trust and are excited about having involved in the room with us, I think it's going to just naturally feel like a more cohesive, kind of complete piece of art in my mind. I also think all these songs written together are just like we've written with intent. We've selected the ones that we want to keep on the record with intent. We've selected the ones we wanted to cut with intent. So I think, yeah, I think it should be a more complete experience, if that makes sense.
A little more
Yeah,
polished, a
yeah.
little less rough around the edges, but still that deal breaker vibe for sure. We're using the studio as, to capture us better than what we could do in the basement, in my house, right? So, and with
Yeah.
like Connor said, Vince and MC, like I think it's we've kind of assembled the everyone wants to make the best deal breaker record possible. So I think that's what you're gonna get is album of the year 2026 deal breaker.
Big time.
Title
TBD.
with TBD.
But yeah, I think like also like I can't be overstated enough. And either MC and Vince are just both very good salespeople, but they've made us believe that they are very stoked on the project. And I do believe that they are, and very stoked on the band and kind of what we're doing and what we're about. So it's nice to have people in the room that are more like, yes, of course, they are employed to do this and be a part of this project, but I think also to have people in the room that are excited about it and are yeah, like believe in it and are stoked and love Deal Breaker, because we love Deal Breaker, so we don't really want to share it with people that aren't on board.
Don't listen if you don't
Yeah. If you
love
don't love it,
it.
get out of here.
Don't even think
You're
about
done. Now I have to like
it.
answer questions, get all the trivia right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, at the door. You can come in after you get ace this test.
It's great you purchased the ticket. That's awesome.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
can you please fill out this questionnaire?
Yeah. That does sound like a deal breaker bit.
Yeah.
Deal breaker, prove your love.
I love it. Oh yeah, little D
Ooh.
boy. Little D boy touch there. The fellas.
Bringing them in.
Hell yeah, got to.
Another famous smoke machine band.
Oh yeah, actually I got in trouble for that too. I mean, someone I know maybe was a goon for D-Boy at one of their shows in Toronto at the Phoenix, RIP. And they were opening for Fiddlar. This is probably a story that's fine to tell. And they had two smoke machines on either side of the stage, and I was just, or someone was dressed as a goon out in the crowd, just cranking the smoke machines, just like filling the Phoenix. And the promoter found said person in the crowd and was like, "Hey, you gotta stop this, or Fiddlar's not going to play." And I was like, "Oh, I'll find the guy doing it and I'll tell him not to." Yeah, and then just kind of tucked away the smoke machine, deeper into the pocket, the control. But yeah, I don't know to this day if that note actually came from Fiddlar or came from the promoter. I would like to believe it was the promoter trying to throw them under the bus. But yeah, so the second half of the set was smokeless, in fact. Forgiveness. I don't know. It worked out.
See, who knew that rock and roll didn't have as much smoke and fire as it used to?
That they say it, yeah,
Yeah.
honestly.
It has more notes now.
Yeah.
More rules or soft guidelines, as some say.
Scott hates those.
Keeping the spirit of punk alive.
Hell yeah.
Everyone.
Bad boy of the band.
For everyone listening, everyone just flash the devil horns. So we're gonna have a quick Satan summon sesh in a minute.
Yeah.
Yes. So everybody should follow Deal Breaker on Instagram at 1-800 Deal Breaker,
Hell yeah.
and catch them on the road. They will be playing Niagara Falls with B.A. Johnson and Pro Wrestling the Band on November 28th, Buffalo on December 3rd with the Dreaded Laramie and Velvet Bethany and Mookie, Hamilton on December 4th with the Dreaded Laramie and Sickly Spins, December 5th in London, Ontario with the Dreaded Laramie and Wasted Potential, their hometown of Welland on December 6th with Mason Vale and Fear Elements, and December 7th in Toronto with the Dreaded Laramie and Weak Hands. Oh, the Dreaded Laramie are also on that December 6th show. I don't know why they got cut off there. So,
They're on all those shows.
all those shows.
yes.
Except for
Not BA and
not
Pro.
BA.
Yeah, no. No, that's pro wrestling's turn.
Yeah,
Hell yeah. And
Yes.
then catch us with pro wrestling in the UK in May. We're doing
Oh.
May.
Oh, is this a are
I
you
don't
this
know. It,
announcement for the first
I
time?
don't know. It is now. I think Scott might have nodded towards it at something. Anyway, yeah, we're going to the
Did
UK.
not. I definitely did not.
You didn't talk about the UK on like Craig's podcast or something? I thought you did.
Nope.
Well,
Oh, when we oh maybe.
anyway, I am.
I'm the bad boy, but I'm not that
Well, I guess I'm being bad,
bad.
but yeah, we're going to the UK
That just means
May 4th to 17th.
it's locked in now.
It's in. It's half booked. It better be locked in. We're booking it.
It's locked in now. See
Yeah.
you there.
Hell yeah.
Very, very, very exciting. And again, you heard it here first, folks. We're breaking all
Yeah.
of the news. So we're going to have a song break. Again, you can see Deal Breaker playing this song live and all of those dates around Ontario, Buffalo, and now the UK. This is Multimeter, and we'll be back with the news in a minute.
This multimeter's getting old. Can't trust the reading that it shows. Is this a fluke? It's hard to know. So run it again. I did it again. This alternator's getting.
That was Multimeter by Deal Breaker, everyone. And we are back now with the news. So we're gonna start it off with a fiery story. John, tell us about the latest development in Firefest.
Firefest is not back, but what's happening is what's his name, Em?
Billy McFarlane.
Billy McFarlane is back, and he's got a new festival, which is called Phoenix Fest or PHNX Fest or whatever. And it's limited to 400 people, and tickets range, well, technically tickets range $200 and up, but not really, because the $200 ticket is for only people that live in the island. And the press release was a little misleading, honestly, because the press release on this says that Phoenix Fest is located in the Caribbean, which it is, but it didn't say where. It's actually located on the same island where the most recent Firefest offshoot was, which was run by what was that guy's name, man? That real piece of work, dude.
I
We had
can
him on the
picture his face.
podcast. Anyway, some jerk
Yeah.
off.
Yeah, this prick we had on the
We
podcast.
did, he really was a piece of work. And so anyway, so I'm kind of
Wild.
jumping around. I'm being kind of laissez-faire. Let me handle this here. So I had to pull up the news story. All right, people, listen, here's the story. Billy McFarland is back. He's got a new festival called PHNX Fest, Phoenix Fest, obviously. It's limited to 400 people. It's going to be a 2-day event. The headliner to the first event is French Montana. What surprised me in the comments section, everyone's like, who's French Montana? And I'm not a French Montana fan, but I always find it weird when people kind of act like they don't know who someone relatively famous is in the field that they're interested in, that is in Phoenix, I mean in music. So look, like I thought it was weird people didn't act like that. Like I would say as a festival headliner, French Montana is very underwhelming. But that being said, I was annoyed that people didn't act like they didn't know who that was. Anyways, they haven't announced who the other headliner is. The event is real soon, December 4 to 8. And as a listener surely know, I plan rinky dink punk news shows of 175 people like 6 months in advance. This massive festival, where tickets range up to 500,000 bucks, is happening in a month and a half with Thanksgiving in there, which of course, shortens your time frame. If you spend the 500 G's, you get flown out there in a private jet. You get a golf cart. You get four ATVs. You can cruise around on their boat. You get bottle service, and so yeah. And it's in Utilla Bay, which is where the Firefest offshoot was. And so, as we discussed, is I really was unsure how the Firefest offshoot wasn't going to be a complete failure. But the mere fact that they're doing it again, I guess, shows that it's real. But on the other hand, I guess it's kind of tough to scam, say, 100,000 suckers, but scamming 400 suckers seems much more doable, And then from a sheer business standpoint, it makes a lot more sense. Why waste your effort trying to scam $300 out of a sucker when you can scam $500,000 out of 300 suckers and make insane bank? You know what I mean? So from a sheer business standpoint, they are honing their skill, if you will. But like I said, is I don't I don't I can't imagine a single person spending money to go see this. But as one of the commenters mentioned, th this whole thing might be based on a false economy, and that false economy being online influencers and online YouTube show people, which there are many, and many of which make lots and lots and lots of money. We're talking tens of millions of dollars a year. Maybe 300 of them will buy this and go to it just for the complete disaster of it. So it's like, and this is the only way I can imagine that it's actually going to function, is no one is actually going for the event to enjoy it. They're going for the failure and spectacle. And Billy McFarlane even sort of acknowledges in a very classy statement, I'm going to read this: to everyone saying play it safe, we got the islands. To all the internet NPCs claiming they live life, we are out here really doing this. To the people saying get a job, we are paying people back and supporting every effing island we touch. Does it, does it? I love how he's like, we care about the island, the effing islands. To the one saying this is a normal vacation, you haven't done a trip with me. To the one saying this is delusional, wait until we drop the lineup. Let me show you Island Billy. Come live. And so yeah, this is bizarre. And like I said, we had the guy that actually is behind this on the podcast, and he's a real douchebag. And he appeared to support Trump. He appeared to support Ronnie Radke, who has gone to jail or has been arrested for sexual abuse. And so yeah, man. I hope this fails. I think, I mean, Billy McFarlane has proven time and time and time again he's a huge douchebag, and he clearly, well, he appears to be a sociopath, and then he appears to have no remorse for his actions whatsoever. So I don't know why anybody in their right mind would support this, and I can only imagine it's influencers and those kinds of people flying out for the disaster. But even then, I would say giving money to Billy McFarlane is morally objectionable. And if you want to be an influencer, I'm not against that, but there are many other ways to spend your money, such as giving money to the Stern Brothers so I get to go to Punk Rock Boeing 2026, which was canceled. That's the great tragedy, Em. Punk Rock Boeing 2026 is canceled, but Phoenix Fest is happening, apparently. Anyway, Em, do you think this is actually going to happen, or is this going to be another disaster?
Oh, it's not going to happen.
But the last Fire Fest did happen.
The fucking islands are going to sink.
So, I mean, do you really think this is going to fail?
I don't think it's going to happen. But then
how come the last one actually did happen? Like, what's the difference is my question.
I think the other one happened because the other guy was behind it. I don't think he's behind this one. I think it's purely a Billy thing.
No, he is behind this because it's at his resort in Utila Bay.
Okay, I think it's going to happen then. I don't think it's going to be good, and I think there's going to be something go wrong.
I don't know. You guys sound like you've never partied with Island Billy.
Have you guys partied with Island Billy?
Well, no comment. I don't want to dox myself on the podcast, but no, I certainly have not partied with Island Billy. I don't really care. I don't really care to.
I'll say this. Since this festival is scheduled to happen at the same time as our tour with Dreaded Laramie, if this festival doesn't happen, we will honor your ticket. At any and all of the shows,
and you can buy tickets at the link in our bio, and they're like half the price of these tickets. So
if your $500,000 ticket doesn't work out, you can come to any of the shows on the 65K Deal Breaker Dreaded Laramie Tour, all of them, and I'll buy you two drinks too.
Wow,
that's a good deal.
You could drive yourself, no golf carts included. No bottle service.
Maybe an ATV. I gotta call my Uncle Jeff and see if I can get him.
I'll buy you two drinks, give you three cigarettes too.
I was under the understanding this Billy Island Billy was Firefest guy. Are they different people?
No, I believe Island Billy is Billy McFarlane at the Island Billy is Billy McFarlane at Utila Bay, the islands, or wherever that place is. Okay. So.
And that's the same dude that ran Firefest?
Yeah. Well, now he's Island Billy. I guess maybe he's trying to change his identities to avoid the judgment
to be fair, there's Billy McFarlane, the businessman, and then there's Island Billy, the party guy. And they're kind of the same guy, but there is a distinction.
Who keeps getting
like his Burning Man name.
Yeah. Yeah. Who keeps letting this person put on festivals?
I'll tell you exactly. We had him on the Punk News podcast. Let me pull it up real quick. And then
oh, God.
Listeners might not know. And then we'll talk about the background behind this. Here we go. So there's this guy called Heath Miller.
He's a douchebag, right?
He is a douchebag. And he used to book a bunch of shows in New York. He literally booked Metallica and like other really big acts. And so it appears he's got like his stuff together. And he's a young guy. He's only like, I don't know, 35, 40. I don't know. So he appears to have his stuff together. And I believe he bought like this whole complex down in Utila Bay Islands, which is a small island in the Caribbean. And he's got a resort down there. And this past summer, not that long ago, in like July or something, they had the Fire Fest pop-up festival. And we had him on before that. And the question that we had for him was, and he was working with Billy McFarlane for this, and we were like, well, why should there's any number of people that you could co-host a festival with? Jello Biafra, the Stern Brothers from Punk Rock Bowling, Mick Jagger, Fergie, anybody you want. You could have a festival with any of these people. If we're talking this amount of money, why would you work with Billy McFarlane, who was a known creep, a known fraudster, and has ripped off a lot of people? And not only did he rip off people, he literally ripped off people while he was awaiting sentencing for his first crime, if the listeners remember. And so he's a douchebag. And it'd be one thing if he was like, you know, I was having a really bad time in my life and I made some bad decisions, but he hasn't been like that at all. He's been like, F you, I'm Island Billy. I'll have a great island party, you know? And so the question that we had for Heath Miller is, why are you choosing to work? And you go back and listen to this podcast, people. Why are you choosing to work with Billy McFarlane? And he couldn't answer the question. And I was shocked by that, because I would think, if this cat is smart enough to book Metallica and he's smart enough to own an entire island or own a majority of an island, then I would think he would come to the Punk News podcast with some angle as to why we should support Billy McFarland. And he didn't have one. The best he could do was like, well, look at Trump. People love Trump. And I'm like, are you saying you love Trump? And he wouldn't say that he didn't like Trump. And then he started saying, look at Ronnie Radke. He had a comeback. And, of course, Ronnie Radke has been arrested for I'm going to look up exactly what Ronnie Radke's been arrested for because I don't want to get sued for defamation. So hold on. But he was talking about Ronnie Radke as if he's an American success story. And here is Ronnie Radke. He was the singer of, I believe, Falling in Reverse. Let me just tell you about some of the things that Ronnie Radke has been. And, of course, my computer is choosing to be slow here. Here we go. Okay. Domestic violence. He went to a Six Flags and he got into a fight there. Rape allegations and so forth. And so he was saying that because Trump and Ronnie Radke came back, then we should believe in Billy McFarland. And that was the best argument that he had. And so I was shocked that he didn't have some sort of spin as to why I should care about or support Billy McFarland. And he had nothing. And then after the whole thing went down, I don't want to talk about the podcast too much, but it was a cool podcast. And that I argued with him. It wasn't like a friendly podcast. It was like a low level boxing match. And then afterwards, he sent me an email, this weird passive aggressive email. He's like, we just had Firefest pop up in Utila Bay. Everyone got paid. And I'm like, well, I didn't think that you wouldn't pay them. I think Billy McFarland is a creep. And so why would we want to give him money? So anyways, the guy behind this most likely is Heath Miller because he's at his complex in Utila Bay. And why he's so in love with this Billy McFarland. I mean, you would think that associating yourself with Billy McFarland in any fashion would be bad for business. But he appears, and then I'll let you guys respond to this, is we do live in an era where we're cherishing the villain. I mean, look at how bad Donald Trump is, and people love that guy. You know, they do. You know, look at how bad any number of kinds of creeps are. Like, we're celebrating creeps on the mere fact that they have confidence and have no sense of due unto others, and that's being celebrated now. And I guess that's why he likes this Billy McFarland guy, and that he's a creep, and he likes supporting a creep. And he sees supporting a creep as some sort of noble endeavor, or I'm a quote alpha male, I guess, which Billy McFarland isn't because he went to jail, so he's a bitch. Anyways, you guys, how much money would it take for you guys to play Phoenix Fest? How much money would you demand?
Oh, $100 or something. I think, like, honest answer, all these things considered, I don't think we would be aligning ourselves with Phoenix Festival. We do care, you know, about where Deal Breaker's name pops up. So
$20,000.
$20,000. But if they offered us $20,000,
but
no,
yeah. I mean, let's say they give you 20 G's and then you put 10 G's into initiatives that are kind of anti this whole modern evil supervillain type thing. What do you think of that?
That's a fair point. I think it's I mean, we're not getting offered to play Phoenix Fest, so it's hard to, answer.
If you want, I'll give you the guy's email. I think it'd be hilarious if you.
I would love to not ever see that. No, I think, like, again, like, not to slide down this whole, like, political rabbit hole, but even, like, what just happened with the, like, Riyadh Music Festival and all of these, like, well-respected comedians that are just going over to Saudi Arabia and playing this festival to, you know, entertain people over there, but paid for, like, funded by some really, really horrid people, some really, yeah, really terrible families, and really, really dark money. I think, like, yeah, you could say you're going to do right by people or use that money for whatever, but it's like, I don't know, a part of me feels like you're kind of just epitomizing a pretty awful culture. So I don't know. I know that I would not want to be attached to this particular project in any capacity.
Well said, M. Here's a trivia question before we go to our next news story. What is the only country named after a family? And I just learned this from one of these, like, dumb, like, Instagram. Like, you're scrolling through Instagram and these dumb videos pop up. That's where I learned this from. M, what's the only country named after a family?
The only country named after? Liechtenstein.
No, Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
So there you go.
Oh.
Saudi family.
Okay. Go. That's God, very interesting.
God, did you want to say something? I saw you put your hand up. Or unless I'm seeing things.
I was just thinking.
Oh, okay.
Trying to think of it. I was not going to say Saudi Arabia.
Oh, okay.
So let's move past this.
I think you're onto something though, John, with what you're talking about there. I think this isn't a festival for music goers. I think this is a festival for
Clicks.
for those for exact it didn't even until you said it, I was like, oh, who's the saying a range between $200 and 500,000 is not even a rate. Like that's
Somewhere in
not
there.
from zero to infinity. Like you'll pay some amount of, but you're right. I think it's totally the people that want the experience to say they went to this thing. The you can't even say it's lore behind it because it's the truth, but the experience that was public and made public the first time around is something to experience now, and people are going to pay for that experience. So I don't know. Maybe there is something there.
I just hope they get a better sandwich maker on this one. Like at least go for Subway or something. Jesus, come on.
They need a better headliner than French Stewart or whatever
French
the guy from Third Rock from the Sun, right?
I would go see French. Last question, and this is a genuine question, and we'll go around the room. Billy McFarlane, do you think he's actually like a sociopath and there's actually something wrong with him, or is he just a huge douchebag? That's the question.
I'm leaning more towards the latter for some reason. I
Like
think
he's
he's
genuinely a douche.
just he gets he's an attention seeker and he gets the attention and then he uses that to his benefit in a weird way. But does that also make you a sociopath?
I feel like both things can be true. It doesn't need to be mutually exclusive. Like, the guy is clearly a huge douchebag. And I also think being able to kind of take such advantage of people, like, unapologetically, and just like, yeah, fuck it. If they'll give me the money, I'll take the money and I'll just rip them off and burn them. Like, who cares? I think that that does take a special kind of cognitive dissonance or a special kind of person to kind of reckon with doing that to people en masse. So. Yeah, I think all of the above. He's a piece of shit. Sorry, am
But
I allowed to swear on this podcast?
sure. Here's the real
Yeah.
last question. I do love the Firefest topic. It's one of my this the Woodstock Festival. The guy was it the guy from the and who was the guy from the band that was selling like fake like foreclosure sale info to people and got arrested? Was he in the Ataris or whatever? Anyway, those are like my favorite
I don't
stories ever.
remember.
True last questions about this. If someone is dumb enough to give him $500,000 with all the history before it, is he a bad guy? Because if they're that dumb, you know what I mean? Like,
Fool me
should we feel
once,
sorry for
right?
that person? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's still like on him. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
even if someone is that dumb, like truly, then there's something else going on with that person where they're like, yeah, totally. Here's $500,000. So I don't know. I still think it's very predatory. I think that there's nothing redeeming about what this man is up to.
Well said. Well
If you have
said.
$500,000 to spend on a single weekend, I don't feel bad for you about literally anything in your life.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
What if there's like some old man? He's like, I've worked my entire life. He's like, this person, I can't do anything about it. You know, he's like, this is what I've worked my entire life for.
Like a
Don't feel
phoenix
rising
bad
from the ashes. I knew I would finally get my chance. Phoenix Festival. That's what he's been waiting for.
Wants to meet Island Billy.
always heard of this Billy fella.
People online keep talking about this Billy guy. Island Billy. Go out with a bang. Yeah. There's better there are I can think of countless infinite other places where that money's better spent.
He'd spend a fraction at a Deal Breaker show.
Yeah, like it, yeah, a
Like
quarter.
not even
Yeah.
like
How many Deal Breaker shows can you go to for $5,000
don't
or
think he'll come.
$500,000?
500,000.
Handful for sure. Honestly, as many as you want. You give me
Kick
$500,000. You can tell me, change the name of the band.
us all
Song
out.
can be 200 or 151 seconds, no problem.
500,000
Yeah.
subjects.
Yeah.
True.
Wild.
$1 per second.
What a deal.
Add a deal breaker in this case. So, kind of, I don't really have a good segue here, but two people who are cool and not sociopathic douchebags that we know of, Henry Rollins and Ian MacKaye
I might disagree
have.
with one of those statements, but go ahead, Evan.
Yeah,
Henry Rollins on this podcast. He was a huge douchebag.
Would you like to share your story?
Well, here's what I'll say. I've dealt with Ian MacKay a few times. Ian MacKay, totally genuine person in it for the right reasons. Sometimes he's a little direct, I guess, but I can't hold that against him. So I like Ian MacKay. Actually, I'll tell a quick Ian MacKay story. So one time, what was the band after the Evens? Kariki. They were playing three shows. They were playing Washington, D.C., Harrisburg, and New York. And in between Harrisburg and New York, there was a free day. So I emailed Ian. I'm like, hey, Ian, you probably have contacts in Philly. But if you don't, do you want to come play Philadelphia? And his response was, I mean, like, you know, we deal with a lot of different level bands at Punk News. We deal with some of the Buzz of the Moments band. And you know, I'll draw a contrast, actually. So anyways, and he emailed me back almost right away. He's like, hey, thanks for reaching out. We've actually got something planned for that day. But I'll keep you in the Rolodex or something like that, which was really a thanks, but no thanks. But it was a classy way to do it. Now, he didn't have to respond. So Ian's a good dude, man. I like Ian. So by contrast, it was like Bumbershoot Festival or whatever down in Atlantic City that failed spectacularly. Oh, yeah. And the Garden was supposed to headline. And so I emailed their booking agent and them. I emailed the booking agent like, hey, I saw the show fell through. They probably already have plane tickets. Do you want to come up and play Philadelphia? I can definitely put that together. And the booking agent's response was not literally, but it was almost literally, fuck you. We don't want your money. Like, it was like super, like, I'm like, wow. I'm like, but then the Garden, the booking agent didn't know that I knew their email. They emailed me. They sent me this very nice email, but hey, they thanks for reaching out. But they already like really like a multi-paragraph email, but they appreciated reaching out and so forth. The point being is, booking agents and bands need them, but they're among the roughest people to work with in the music business. Anyway, Ian MacKay, I've dealt with him a few times. I've interviewed him twice. Good guy. I like him a lot. Em, go ahead.
Yeah. So they were recording something last week. It was announced.
Did you see the update? Because
it's about the update. I'm just providing context. Cause they were like, Henry Rollins was like, I was in the studio with Ian MacKay, inner ear, all this kind of stuff. Everyone's like, oh my God, they're recording together. And then the update. And what was the update, John?
Well, I'm going to put this on Henry's shoulders. And we got the story slightly wrong. Some other websites got it really wrong. And I'm embarrassed that we got it slightly wrong. I was going to change it, but I thought, no, we'll leave it up there. We don't always. I do pride Punk News in being very careful about news stories and getting things right. Henry, I think, was very vague. I'm going to read Henry's statement, actually. Let me see if I can pull this one up. Because, I mean, like, give me a second here. Like, let's see here. Here we go. This is just a portion of Henry's statement. Weeks ago, I journeyed to D.C. in order to work on a great project. Ian MacKay and I – it's actually MacKay. Ian MacKay and I think, or is it MacKay? No, it's MacKay. Ian MacKay and I went to Inner Ear Studio, where we made our first records decades ago and mixed a four-song session with the great Don Z and Tara. So, I mean, everyone's like, oh, my God, they either recorded together or they recorded together a while ago, and it's like some unreleased SOA session or whatever. You know, so we put Henry and Ian were recording in the Inner Ear. Other websites put, like, Henry and Ian have an album coming out together, and, like, it was getting, like, wilder and wilder. What the story actually was, which Henry clarified the next week, was that he purchased the rights to some 77-era bands and then went to Inner Ear to mix and master the band that neither he or Ian were in. It's probably the Adverts or maybe some of the band, or maybe the Lurkers or a band like that.
It's actually the new Deal Breaker record.
Oh, well, there you go. That'd be pretty cool. So Henry had to clarify it and Henry, whose sole job these days is communication, either be it through his radio show or spoken word or his dispatches, he kind of left out the most important detail that he wasn't actually in it. And I almost wonder if he did that just to stir up notice, which I don't mind, actually. But it's almost like him saying, like, yeah, I was driving 200 miles an hour and I smashed into a car and then I knocked some lady out and I stole her motorcycle. And then we're like, oh my God, I can't believe Henry's in a hit and run. And then like the next week he's like, oh, I was playing Grand Theft Auto 3. That's what I meant. You know, it's like you left out like the key detail, you know? And so anyways, so what Henry is really doing is he's mixing and mastering some early punk band like he did before with Pure Hell And I, oh, that's right. He also mixed and mastered the Adverts demos, which I bought at Punk Rock Bowling last year directly from TV Smith. And so anyways, so Henry's putting out some kind of archive release. It'll be cool. I think he knew what he was doing when he was vague the first time around. And if he wasn't, then I'm surprised and shocked, frankly. Deal Breaker, what do you guys think? Were you excited to hear new Henry music? And what band do you think he's mixing and mastering? Could be the Bad Brits. Could be.
I could not pretend to guess what he's mixing and mastering other than it being the new Deal Breaker record. I don't know. I when I first read the article, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Henry, you know, having a new project. And then, of course, by the end of the update, it was clear that that was not the case. The last time I saw Henry Rollins, he was just doing like his spoken word set at in a park in Montreal for Montebello Rock Fest, and that was really cool. But otherwise, yeah, I couldn't venture a guess as to what this particular project might be. But his stamp of approval has got to mean something.
All I'll say is Adverts, and if it's not Adverts, I'm going to say Lurkers, and if it's not Lurkers, I'm going to say Bad Brains. That's what I'm saying.
I'll put my
Would
money
you rather
on those.
Have? Sorry.
I'll put my money on those.
We're running a pool now. Everyone has to put in like a couple bucks.
Just a couple squares here and there.
I would definitely put a couple bucks on John's picks if there option. If there was a parlay I could make and like make a couple. Yeah, I would happily ride with John on that.
Would you rather have Henry or Ian mix your record? You have to pick one. You can't have both.
I think I would go with Henry. I just feel like.
I'll be fully transparent, to be completely honest. I don't know much about either of them.
I can speak to the work they've done as far as mixing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't be able to pinpoint much of their stuff in the past. So I'd have trouble, but I'd be in the same boat as Connor. I think it'd be, in my head, Henry's name is more of a thing for me, maybe.
I would agree with that.
Scott?
Yeah, I'm gonna say that I like Minor Threat more than Black Flag, so I'm gonna go against the grain here. Go Ian.
Of course, Ian famously mixed the first Bikini Kill EP, of course.
Really? Okay. Yes. Well, I'm sticking with my answer then.
All right. Well, I'll stick with Scott's answer too then.
Scott has great taste. Yeah. So if you can actually cut our portion of the interview of the question and just go with Scott's, I would love to ride with Scott on that.
This is a very like not needed portion that I'm about to talk about, but like I famously don't know music that well. Like between us, I will send music that I think is new and cool to these guys in like our group chat. And they'll be like, oh yeah, this song rocked 10 years ago when it came out. Like I'm always so out of the, like I listen to like my little box of music. And then every once in a while, new things come in and I think they're cool and I send them and they've already heard them half the time. So I'm usually a little bit late on stuff or finding out new things. Or old.
I want to see like Ian or Henry be the next collaboration with Carlos Santana. That's what I want to see.
Scott, what song have you really been leaning into lately?
Barely Breathing by Duncan Sheik.
Okay. I was.
Oh, I wasn't going.
I was trying to bait you on your
Chad Tana.
Chad Tana.
Oh, Rob from Matchbox 20 or whatever.
Sure, Santana. Rob Thomas, yeah.
What was that song that they had with Santana?
Smooth.
Smooth.
Yeah, man, it's a hot one. Song of the summer was Why Don't You and I featuring Chad Kroeger and Carlos Santana.
Song of the summer for Scott.
Oh.
Yeah, song of my nightmare.
Song of Scott's summer.
The unending repeat. Yeah,
I didn't know they did a song together.
Oh yeah, well, you should check it out.
I think you'll know it. I think you'll be like, I thought that was a Nickelback song.
Can you throw that in right now? Yeah. We'll come back to the news after.
Great song.
I'm making a note.
And we're back.
That wasn't just Nickelback, folks.
Believe it or not.
We really went off the rails here, sorry.
I love it. I actually would like Santana to mix our record. If I had to pick. If I had to pick between the three, if Santana was an option.
I think I'm going to stick with Vince.
Actually, yeah, I think Vince Oliveri is the choice.
Who did the Dirty Nils latest record too? Recorded them.
Oh.
Yeah. Pretty sick.
Very yeah, sick. You know new music, Nick.
I know that Dirty Nils in my box of things that I know of.
Good job, man.
I mean, great band. Great band.
Great guys, great band.
Yes. Another band made up of great guys is Our Sins.
Deal break. Oh.
Also a deal breaker, yes.
Every chance we get. Our Sins.
Our Sins.
They surprise released their debut album, Sea of Nude Limbs Thrashing. And of course, that band is made up of Danny Kidd of Pro Wrestling the Band, Ian Rivers, Dustin Andrews of Wasted Potential, and Joel Sigelkow of Paradise. So, a lot of buds on the album, on the band. So, thoughts on Our Sins?
Hell yeah, I'm stoked. We Scott and I recently went to see Wasted Potential play in Niagara Falls, and both Danny and Dustin were, you know, whispering in our ear about this upcoming project that was to be released, I think, on Halloween, if I remember correctly. I think they dropped it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they seemed really stoked on it, and it seemed like a really cool, you know, passion project. They were saying basically that whole record was written in like two sittings. Like they spent like one weekend together, wrote like five tracks, spent another weekend together, wrote the rest of it, and didn't think too hard about it. They kind of just, you know, similar to kind of what Nick was talking about earlier with Deal Breakers process. It's like they were concerned about writing stuff that they thought was cool, and then whatever came of that was what it would be. And then I guess after those two, you know, instances, they were like, oh, we actually kind of have a record here, let's do it. And I think it rocks. I think it's awesome. I love those dudes, so I'm super super happy for them, and hell yeah,
ditto. Yeah, no, I think I don't think I've most of I don't really know the other guys other than Danny that well, but every project Danny's in I think is like the best. Pro Wrestling the Band, I think I said this in the last article, but they are and still the best band in the entire world. So I think from what I've heard so far, it's gonna be another awesome piece of music. I can't wait to listen, add that to my small square of new music in my life.
Yeah, I took it for a drive today. It rocks, love it. I think they are playing, I don't know if it's probably going to be after this comes out, but I believe they're playing their first show Friday in Toronto at the Nono Room.
Nice.
That is right.
Very nice. Bring in all of the hopefully clothed limbs thrashing for the show.
I would have to imagine, yes.
Yeah, yes.
That would be appropriate, I think. The record is called A Sea of Nude Limbs Thrashing.
Mm. See?
Yeah. Sorry, that was yeah.
See, it was such a good joke. It needed to be explained.
Yeah. I don't think that's on you. I don't think that's on you.
No, that would most definitely was not on you. I was processing and Connor caught what I was trying to process.
Keep an eye on kind of the CanCon thing. Canadian music journalist and human serviette Nardwar has announced a collaboration with Nike for an SB shoe. It is themed. It has tartan. It has pom-pom. It has the catchphrase. It has his face. It has pretty much everything except for the person. There you are. It probably gives you, you wear it and probably absorbs your essence and asks you very deeply personal probing questions. So, are you guys going to rock the Nardwar sneakers? And what would the deal breaker sneakers look like?
Oh, that's a fun question. I will definitely not be wearing the Nardwuar sneakers. I'm sure those will be exorbitantly expensive. I pretty much have one pair of shoes that I wear until the soles fall out, and then I'm forced to buy another.
Time
But
out though.
yeah.
We weren't talking if they were financially good to buy or whatever.
Just if I would wear them.
Yeah, would you wear them?
Oh,
I'd
would
wear
I
them.
wear them?
Yeah.
I would
I
wear
would.
them. Sure.
Not
Yeah, maybe I took that wrong.
yeah.
I
Yeah,
can't,
just
but
would
I
you wear
will. Yeah.
them?
Would you?
Sure, I get. I don't see
If
why
money was
not.
no like thing, object, like, yeah, would if someone was like, here are
Wear
these
these.
Nardwuar shoes.
I'm wearing them.
Yeah, I'd wear them, I think. I didn't think they looked that like, I mean, they're like out there, but they're not like crazy. I thought they were pretty cool looking. I didn't see the pom poms though. Maybe I missed them.
On the tongue, I believe.
On the laces, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I probably had a pair of like plaid Vans when I was in college. Like, I don't think it's far off. What would the deal breaker shoe look like?
I would leave that to the art department over here. They would be sick though, I'll tell you that, because everything I would I we're we got a pretty good merch lineup going on. Like we usually have some pretty solid stuff. So Nike, if you want to reach out, we could probably spark something up with you guys. Nike's Mr. Nike's listening, right?
Mr. Nike,
Mr. or
yeah.
Mrs. Nike.
Well, if that douchebag from Fire Festival comes on, I'm
Yeah,
sure
true.
Mr. Nike also listens in.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there would be some sort of artistic bit, if you will. I think we do a pretty good job of there's been kind of like our Lancer tees and hats. We've done, I don't know. I think they would just be cool. I don't know. I also feel like maybe, okay, you know what? Never mind Nike, Blundstone. If you want to reach out, because that's what we wear on stage. So,
Nikes would be Blundstones.
yeah.
1-800 down the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Nike, if you can get us in touch with Mr. Blundstone.
Yeah. And I know Blundstones don't have laces, but the laces on these Blundstones would be like phone cord, like the twirly phone
Oh,
cord.
okay. You know what? We're going back to Nike. We need laces.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think they'd be cool. I don't know. I'd, yeah.
Soles would be pre-worn just like Connor's shoes.
Yeah.
Just like mine, there would be holes all in them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we would just sell our shoes and be like, these are the deal breaker Nikes, and it's literally just our used shoes.
They stink.
It's not good. It
Thousand
go one. Sorry.
bucks though. Thousand bucks.
$500,000.
$500,000.
That's just for one shoe.
Yeah,
Have to buy both.
if you want both, you get, yeah.
And it's while quantities last. So if a lot of the lefts go, you might end up with two rights.
Might be tough or too mismatched.
Yeah.
Just gotta hope. It's like a tr it's like our version of NFTs.
Wouldn't you want mismatched when it comes to shoes?
Would I want? No, I mean like
Mismatched.
literally like one's Knicks left and one's Conk
Oh,
right.
you only
Yeah,
get
you
the
guys
size.
don't both wear lefts? Like what?
Only the sizes are available are only the ones in the
Yeah,
band.
exactly.
Honestly, pretty good range probably.
Yeah, true, truly.
Probably cover a lot there.
John, are you gonna rock the Nardwuar Nikes?
No, for a couple reasons. One, Nardmore smells really bad, so I assume the sneakers smell really bad.
John, you love everyone we talk about on this podcast.
I mean, also, I mean, well, I'm not trying to kill everyone's fun, but I mean, if we're punk, then why are we partnering with a company that makes stuff in sweatshops in China and Pakistan? You know what I mean? I mean, look, Steve Ignorant, he makes his own clothes, he makes them in England. Jello makes his own clothes, he makes them in USA, So, I mean, I'm being a real bummer this podcast. I'm usually not a bummer at all, but I am. It is funny how we cling to our morals until something fun comes along, and then woo, So, anyways, but also I've got sort of I'm biased in that I'm kind of annoyed at Nardwuar. So, anyways, that's my
Because he
bias.
smells bad.
No, I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed at him because I put out a record, and you guys will appreciate this because you're Canadian, and Canadians love everything Canadian. I put out a long lost unreleased new wave record by this Canadian group, The Flames, and the record is freaking awesome. And so I emailed Nardwar all excited, like, "Hey Nardwar, I found this unreleased Canadian record." You know, and actually it was speaking of Ian MacKay engineering things, it was engineered by Bunny Stryker, famous Jamaican producer. And so I said, "Hey, I found this like really cool record. Like, will you play a song on your show and maybe even have the guy on or just play a song?" And he sent me back this very curt kind of looking down his nose at me response that he's had the record for 30 years and it's no big deal. And I'm like, and then I realized it's not that Nardwar likes obscure facts or obscure records. He likes being the guy presenting the obscure fact and or record. So listen, Nardwar, I love his interviews, but he was kind of a dick to me, I got to say. So when I needed him, he was not there. So when he needs me, I'm not there for him. That's my bias against Nardwar. I like Ian MacKay, though. Ian MacKay's cool. Ian MacKay does not make sweatshop clothes. So there you go.
Neither does Deal Breaker, by the way.
Yeah, actually, scrap that whole part about the Deal Breaker Nikes.
Well, I'm glad. And you know, it is to, and you guys bring up a good point, is before COVID, it actually wasn't that hard to make affordable clothes made in the USA or Canada or whatever. It really wasn't. It was like $3 more a shirt, which you can, you know, but now actually it is kind of a lot harder after COVID. I think there's only one North American really big clothing company now. And there used to be like 3 or 4. There used to be American Apparel. There used to be, was it Bayside? There used to be one other one or two other ones. And now there's like one. So it is a lot more difficult to make shirts, you know, not made in China or Pakistan or wherever. Although a lot of them are now made in like Guam and stuff. That being said, or even Mexico. That being said, I'm against sweatshops. And I don't know. I think more shirts should be made in USA or Canada. I think we should bring that back. Even if it's more expensive. So anyway, and I think bands really should kind of hold themselves a little bit stricter to that code than they have in the past 15 years or so. That did, for punk bands, that did used to be a thing. No sweatshop clothes, and that kind of faded away. And I think maybe we should bring that back.
On the record, we're also against sweatshops and the concept of sweatshops.
I'm making this episode a real bummer. I'm sorry, guys. You guys are being funny, though. You guys had some real good things to say about Firefest. That was funny.
You're good, man. You're killing it.
This is John's beef episode now.
It is. You know, and I've been trying to cut down on my beefs. You know, like, I don't enjoy having, like, people think I enjoy having beefs. I really don't. I actually hate having beefs. I really do. But on the other hand, it's like, it's a very difficult line to walk between not protecting yourself or striking back and getting walked on. And that's always a line that I'm trying to walk, which I find very difficult to walk. And sometimes I find that I beef back at people that really shouldn't have been beefed backed against. They just like said something accidentally or whatever. So I don't know, man. If anyone's got advice on how I can walk that line and be more Hollywood, where I like everybody, you know, and say, "Yeah, let's do lunch," and I don't mean it, let me know. So
you're an honest man, and I like it—a man of passion.
Listen, guys,
I don't think you need to be. I don't think anybody needs to put you in a corner you know.
Let's do lunch when you guys are, you know, in the States next time. So
hell yeah. I'm going to be listening to all of your podcasts after this to make sure you don't call me a douchebag. But if you don't, then I'll for sure come out.
No, you guys, honestly, like, I don't even like talking bad about guests. But on the other hand, is we do have to stand for something, you know. And so if somebody's a real creep, not even like just a jerk, like we talk about something. I don't even like beating up Nardwar. Honestly, everybody loves Nardwar. And he's a weirdo. And he's great in interviews. And I like Nardwar the idea a lot. I was just really bummed out when I emailed and he sent me back such a dickish email. But maybe he was having a bad week. You don't know. You know what I mean?
No, so I'm mostly playing with you for sure. Like I think that everything you're talking about, I'm like fully in line. Like absolutely, it's all very good stuff. 100%. It's not lost on us. I would say.
I did hear that the pom poms for the shoes were made at Nardwar's middle school art class. He got them
is that a real thing?
Yeah, he got them to make them and made a sizable donation to the school.
Well, isn't that sweatshop labor? Having like 7-year-olds make clothing? But isn't that the definition of sweatshop labor?
No, it was agreed upon.
That is fucking hilarious.
Everyone's like, "Oh yeah, Nardwar's so great, man. He's got children making clothes for him, you know." I don't know, man.
Oh, it's all worth it for the donation, though, right? Am I right?
My fingers hurt, Mr. Nardwar. I need 300 more pop-up for the end of the day or no lunch for you next tomorrow.
I'm gonna leak what you did when you were four. Fuck. So we buying the shoes?
We're all gonna pool together.
I'm already on record saying I'd wear them, so I can't go back on that.
Yeah, I already said that too.
Hey, Nard, why are you trying to send us a pair of shoes?
I don't think you will now.
Six size 11 and a half Nardwar.
Extra pom poms.
Extra.
Just like imagining him going back to the school now, just being like, guys, we gotta do more.
The pre-orders were wild.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Wait.
Scott, yes.
Is the pom-pom thing real?
No way to know.
It's not.
It is now. Only facts on the Punk News podcast. All right. Is everyone up for one more story?
Hell yeah.
All right. So we're hitting all the news. The Grammys have announced their nomination list for 2026. So we have, you know, expected stuff. We have Sabrina Carpenter. We have Bad Bunny. We have Justin Bieber, who I guess made an album. And then we have, oh, we also have Lady Gaga, Kendrick Lamar, some cool stuff. We also have Amel and the Sniffers. We have The Cure. We have Turnstile. We have Hayley Williams, Wet Leg. We have all of these other bands who maybe, you know, especially with Amel and the Sniffers and stuff, because I think Turnstile were nominated for Glow On, where it's just like good to see, interesting to see. Do you think we're going to see more kind of actual punk artists or punk adjacent music be recognized going forward?
Definitely once the Deal Breaker record comes out. It's no.
Yes.
Honestly, I think it is nice to see that these different kind of punk or like alternative acts or rock and roll acts are getting some recognition on like such a large stage, because it's easy to kind of ignore these you know, award ceremonies and stuff sometimes, because like you said, those like all the names that you expect, the Bad Bunnies and the Sabrina Carpenters, which like mad respect to all of them, that's great. But yeah, it's kind of just like cool. Yeah, no kidding, whatever. Like, what is this event for or about? So it is kind of cool seeing you know, punk acts and whatever, the names of bands that I actually like listening to popping up on these lists. So I certainly hope so. This is a step in a positive direction. I would love to see more of the same.
Hey, John.
Yes.
Is winning a Grammy punk?
Yes. Well, yeah, that's a great question. But first I have to add that I actually had to retract what I said about Nardwar. I actually Googled my email to him from like 10 years ago, and he wasn't nearly as big of a dick as I remembered. So I have to take all that back. So anyways, I'm still against the shoe, but Nardwar's a nice guy. I feel bad now. Nardwar, you're okay with me. I apologize. I retract. So is winning a Grammy punk? That's a great question, Padawan. Let's see here. Well, and that goes to the question, is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is that rock and roll? Is the Punk Rock Museum punk? And the answer is, and I'll take the Penny Rimbaud perspective, because the Penny Rimbaud perspective is usually right, or even if it's not totally right, it is often based off a genuine non-artifice true belief that is thought to, that is in the heart is in the right place. So here's the answer. Getting a Grammy or not getting a Grammy is not punk. It's irrelevant, because your art does not get to decide whether or not it's good by other people. Only you decide whether or not your art is good. Now, it's nice when people say your art is cool, and it's nice when your art moves other people. And so that means your art might be effective, but winning a Grammy is not punk in of itself. But maybe it is a little bit, because actually, well, maybe it is a little bit. Actually, here's the question. Here's the answer. I'm glad you asked this question. Is winning a Grammy punk? It is very much a double-edged sword. And here's why. The Grammy industry, the Grammy organization It is without question controlled by major labels, which in and of themselves are not bad, honestly, like at their core essence. But there is massive amounts of money on all sides of the equation, which determines what people listen to, what gets promoted, and so forth. So if you are punk, like Amon Sniffers are punk, if you win a Grammy and you can use that to cleave your way into, quote, mainstream, which I don't even think there is a mainstream in all, you know, all, really anymore, but mainstream or wide exposure, if you can bring that punk message to a wide audience and express that message, that is punk. By contrast, if you get subsumed by that mainstream by entering it and convert it into something that you didn't used to be, it is not punk. So the answer is getting a Grammy punk? It depends, like many, like with any tool, it depends what you do with it. A hammer can be used to build a house or smash in somebody's skull. A Grammy can be used to expose and present punk belief, music, and line of thought, or it can be a way to allow the mainstream to absorb you into its consciousness for capitalist and marketing purposes. That is the answer.
It's a great answer. Thank you.
Quite welcome.
I actually, yeah, I that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it sounds like like the artist is either punk or not punk. It's not so much about, you know, it's like what, like you said, what you do with the recognition, which is great. I love that.
Yeah, that's a really good answer.
But I will say, whether or not you believe your art is a success does not depend on other people saying it is a success. You know, now it's nice, and it is easy to get up in that trap. You know, I've designed some album covers, and it's a lot of fun. I've written a book, Architects of Self-Destruction, The War Hustler, Leftover Crack, out now. So it is a great thrill when people say, oh, I really loved your book, or I love that album cover, or I love that album. That's a great thrill. But actually, and in a way, making music for other people is valid if they enjoy it. I'm thinking of a very punk artist who talks about there's an element of service in his music, and that he makes his music to influence, not influence, to be useful to other people, you know. But that being said, the Grammys and some punk music, some punk museum, some rock hall does not get to determine whether or not your art is or is not a success. That's what I'm saying. Only you can determine that. Just, was that like the G.I. Joe thing? Like only you have the power or whatever? Only you get to determine whether or not your art is a success.
Love that.
Yeah, I think that's sick.
I have a Grammy trivia. There has only been one person, one artist in the entire history who has turned down or not accepted a Grammy. Who is it?
Wow. Sinead O'Connor.
Correct.
Sick. What was the... Why?
Wasn't punk.
Wasn't punk?
Kind of.
That's sick.
I guess that it kind of goes both ways, though. I mean, not accepting a Grammy in its own right is a way to, like, that will make the news. This, for the first time ever, an artist has declined a Grammy. That's just as powerful, if not more powerful, than accepting a Grammy and using that as a tool to, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
I will say, if someone called me up and say, John, you've been nominated for a Grammy, I would definitely put on a tuxedo and go to the Grammy parties and live it up. I would not sit home and be like, no. Like, I would definitely experience that. I will say that.
I think that's fair. I feel like I'd probably go to the Grammys with the boys.
I'm going to the Grammys. You heard it here.
We're going to the Grammys, guys.
Fucking sliding on my Narwhar shoes, and I'm going to the Grammys.
Yes, the new Deal Breaker album, Record of the Year 2026. There we go.
Called it.
Hell yeah.
M from Punk News called it too.
Speak it into existence. We're playing Buddies Fest. Our record's going to be Album of the Year 2026.
Not by, and we haven't said who is calling it Album of the Year. We are.
It's, well, the album it's of the year album for us, that's for sure.
And listen,
Tribune Star record.
You guys are joking around, but listen, I mean, 5 years ago, nobody really cared about Turnstile, and now they're literally a big mainstream band. So I'm saying it's going to happen for Deal Breaker. I'm saying 5 years from now, Deal Breaker is going to be, you know, playing like Third Eye Blind type songs, wearing cardigans on stage and doing midair jump kicks on the stage, and a bunch of attractive young people be in the audience, and I'll be in the back with my arms folded because Scal just played and we're great, and I'm only there because Scal opened, and now you guys are up there doing Third Eye Blind type songs. It's going to happen. Like, deal breaker.
These, great. These guys were on the podcast. They were douchebags.
That's great.
Hell yeah.
And then the Santana collaboration happens.
That's true, right. True.
Oh, I would love that.
I would actually argue that a deal breaker Santana collaboration is very punk because it attacks all preconceived notions, and it's kind of funny and it's kind of wacky, which is a big element of punk rock that people kind of forget these days. So
well, I'm not saying he's on the record, but you might really, you might have a real surprise.
Well, I'm here for it.
Is that guy like 150 years old?
The window is getting smaller and smaller, so
we gotta act now.
We gotta act now.
That's why we're trying to move so quick. We're just trying to lock down Carlos Santana before it's too late.
If you come to the Black Sheep show, you might be in for a real treat. That's all I'm going to say.
Not saying why, but...
Can you imagine?
It's only $100,000.
We are honoring Firefest tickets.
Yeah.
Do people get a discount if they show up in Nardwar shoes, though?
No, they have to pay more. Double.
Because we know that you spent that.
We got to cover. Yeah, we got to cover the blood money from all the sweatshop stuff. So we're doubling it, and then we're donating it.
Well, you never know. Maybe Santana bought tickets to Firefest and he can't use them. And so he'll come to your show and, you know, jump up on stage with the guys and do a collab. So
I think we found the connective thread. I think it brings it all together.
Mysteries are solved. Puzzles are put together on the Punk News podcast. Threads are unraveled. Yes. So everybody should go. Follow Dealbreaker at 1-800-DEALBREAKER on Instagram. Go see their shows. Go see them live. Keep your ears to the ground for the news about their new album. And Nick, Connor, and Scott, thank you so much for being on. It was great having you. Thanks for your time. And is there anything that you'd like to leave the listeners with before we play Quick Split to finish this episode?
Thank you for having us. It was a good time.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Come see a live show.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a feeling like no other, let me tell you, baby. Like a headache and emotionally kind of sort of good.